So Kevin did both land use and recreation. I'll go over recreation here. His study objectives for recreation were to document and map the use and management status of recreational lands and waters, and to map the recreational resources, which included such things as National Park Service visits, for which there is somewhat minimal documentation, sport fishing and big game hunting, which are well documented, and wilderness travel, which is also a little bit difficult to document. He also was estimating the economic importance of recreation. When you go into the EBD, this is a fairly extensive chapter. There's 43 tables attached to it and 49 figures, so there's a lot of good information in there. Mostly I'll just give you some examples of what you can find when you get into the chapter. Kevin put the study area into two types. He had a regional study area and a central study area. So his regional study area equates to about the size of West Virginia. So it's about 14.4 million acres. It reflects the mobile life of the important fish and wildlife resources. It recognizes the limited access. It addresses public concerns for parks, because we have three parks, Katmai National Park and Preserve, Lake Clark National Park and Preserve, and the Wood-Tikjik State Park. And some of the boundaries here were somewhat flexible because he was using them to use statistics from DNR management plans, both Bristol Bay and Nishigik-Malchatna River. He was looking at the boundaries of the parks in the area, and he was looking at the fishing game management units. So these boundaries differ slightly between land use, big game, hunting, sports fishing, to accommodate whatever the management boundaries were that gave him the statistics. The central study area is really the local drainages in the vicinity of the pebble deposit and then the transportation corridor. It's more of the typical mine study area, transportation study area you've seen in other presentations. So here's a figure showing you the study area. The green shows you the area he used for land use, the red the area he used for the big game, the yellow is the area he used for sports fish, and then there is a small internal kind of bright pink hatched part, which is the central study area, and then you can see where the parks are in the two shades of pink and the state park in the olive color there. And then the pebble deposit is a little yellow dot kind of in the mid-left of the central study area. General characteristics of this area that Kevin put together were that most of the area is wilderness or near wilderness. It's sparsely populated. Subsistence and recreation are the principal uses of the region's resources. 57% of the area is managed primarily for recreation. It's the world's most productive salmon habitat. It's got world-class sports fishing, brown bear and wildlife viewing, the two largest lakes in Alaska, Iliamna Lake and Lake Naknek Lake, the two national parks, and the largest state park. And that recreational use is highly limited because of access. Use has some seasonal characteristics. Summer and fall is when you have the most recreational use due to sports fishing and big game hunting, and the mid-year months, which also overlap into early summer and summer of wilderness travel, wildlife viewing, sightseeing, hiking, camping, and river sports. This is a figure of the land use from the Bristol Bay Management Plan. Most of the land is publicly owned and managed by the state of Alaska. And for those state lands, they manage them through the Bristol Bay Area Plan, the Nishigik and Malchatna River Recreation Management Plan, and then there's the Lower Tulare Creek Special Use Area. There's also some National Park Service and BLM land. So the state land is the blue that you see quite a bit of. National Park Service is the green that you see more towards the right of the slide. BLM is more towards the lower left in the orange, and then the native lands are the pink that are interspersed throughout that area. All of the recreation lands have been managed by planning regions and then subdivided into management units. The pebble deposit is in units that are managed for mineral development. The transportation corridor is in units that are managed primarily for general use, some mineral development, and some settlement. As I mentioned, there are some national parks and reserves. The Lake Clark National Park and Reserve is the sixth largest national park in the nation. It has mostly wilderness designation. It is one of the least visited units in the national park system. Out of 359 parks, it ranks 346th and is said to be represent 0.2% of recreational visits in Alaska. And a lot of this is access related. There are three wild rivers within the park, and those are used a lot for rafting. The Katmai National Park and Reserve is the fifth largest national park in the nation, and it's also mostly wilderness designated. There are five active volcanoes in the Valley of 10,000 Smokes within this park. There's a lot of brown bear viewing. It has a little bit greater visitation and ranks 241st out of the 359 parks and accounts for 2.8% of recreational visits in Alaska. And then there's the Alagnik Wild River. There's not a lot of statistics on use in that area, but it is noted as the most productive fly-in sport fishery in southwest Alaska. Some of the general statistics Kevin put together, the Bristol Bay study area accounted for 1% of statewide population, 4% of statewide area, 3% of national park visits, 9% of freshwater sport fish catch, 7% of brown bear harvest, and 4% of caribou and moose harvest. There's also some BLM lands in the area, as we saw in the figure. These are managed in the unencumbered federal lands. These are the lands that were not selected by the other parties. There is a Bay proposed resource management plan. It's primarily multiple use, and it does not designate any wild or scenic rivers. So sport fishing, one of the main recreational uses of the area. In a typical year, there's over 15,000 sport fishers, 35,000 fishing trips, 70,000 fishing days, and 400,000 fish caught. This is a recreation that does support a recreational-based economy through air taxis, guides, lodges, outfitters, and suppliers. So in the sport fishing study area, there are some fishing game management areas, and these are shown on the map. Some other characteristics of sports fishing in Bristol Bay are that it's 88% by non-residents of Alaska. It's mainly freshwater, 90%, mainly catch and release, 90%, so that's good for the 400,000 fish. And it's skewed towards the prized sports fish species like rainbows, graylings, and kings. Throughout the EBD, Kevin has, like I said, many figures. They're hard to put up on a slide in a way that you could read them, but these figures show you, this one is the average annual angler days and catch of all species. So for a number of documented sports fishing locations, he will list the number of days that anglers were there. And then he has a table that will tally that information as an inset. The ones in red make up 75% of the angling days. This is a figure he did for all species. He also breaks down in the EBD similar figures for each individual species. And then he breaks down in the tables various information about the activity by drainage, by annual angler days. Naknek, Iliamna Lake, and Alagnik are the highest used. By annual catch, it's the same three, though Iliamna Lake goes above Naknek for a little more catch. He also has some tables showing average annual angler days and catch for 46 locations that you can look up in the EBD. And then he goes to do additional figures that show the average annual catch in the central study area for rainbow trout, grayling, Dolly Varden, where you can see in these small insets the relative amounts for each. Within the central study area, some of the statistics he has for fishing include 8.4% of the angler days were in the regional, the central study area made up 8.4% of the days in the regional study area, 7.4% of the catch for the regional study area. Fish and Game reported data for 6 sites in the central study area. New Halen River was responsible for 45% of the angler days, so it's obviously the most popular spot within the central study area. The others included Iliamna River, Six Mile Lake, Upper Tularet Creek, Iliamna Lake, and Shinklegas Creek. Species were sockeye, rainbow trout, grayling, Dolly Varden, and then minimal coho and king, and those are listed on the popularity. For big game hunting, most popular in the central study area were caribou, moose, and brown bear. State lands up here are generally open to hunting. Actually, this is the regional area, excuse me. Lake Clark and Katmai National Parks are generally closed, though there's some subsistence allowed. And the National Preserves and Alagnik are managed primarily by Fish and Game. Oops. Caribou was the most hunted big game in this study area, mostly in the Mulchatna drainage and part of the Quechac drainage. There is very light hunting in the preserves. Hunting units were partly or wholly in the study area accounted for 31% of the caribou caught or harvested. It was mostly Alaskans hunting, and then most important, of the people hunting, Alaskans had the higher success rate. This map shows the caribou hunters and harvest. Again, it will show, if you look into it, statistics for each area. There will be similar maps in the EBD that show this for the moose and the brown bear harvest. The major trends in the caribou hunt include there's an ongoing decline in the Mulchatna caribou herd population, down 87% since 1998. There's been a shift in the range of the Mulchatna herd away from the Pebble vicinity and an ongoing decline in caribou hunting and harvest. So it's down 92% from 1998 to 2006. There are some tables showing the caribou harvest trend, showing that clear decline. And lastly, Kevin looks into the recreational lodges in the area. In general, during the 2004 to 2008 time period, it was $3,500 to $8,000 general cost for a 6 to 7 day trip. These were mostly non-local lodges and generally non-Alaskan staff. The wages were low, supplies were generally purchased from non-local sources, and these were mostly owned by non-residents of the region. This is a map showing the various lodges in the area. There's 73 that are shown on this map. And the little figures on the map just give the names of the lodges. Then there's the Cook Inlet Regional Study Area. It also has a small central study area in the immediate area of the Anniskan and Iliamna Bays. The sport fishing in Cook Inlet is very light for the freshwater sports, with the popularity being for coho, Dolly Varden, chum, minimal king, and rainbow trout. Marine fishing is more popular in the marine area, mostly for halibut, and then there's also harvesting of razor clams. The sport fishing annual catch and angler days is shown on this figure within the boxes. There's also some big game hunting in the Cook Inlet study area. Brown bear was much more popular down here, some moose, and very little caribou. Between 2000 and 2005, there were 164 brown bear harvested, 36 moose harvested, 13 caribou. This is the extreme edge of the Mulchatna caribou herd range, so that's not surprising. Again, there's some maps showing harvest This is a map for bear. There's also maps for caribou and for moose. Any questions on the recreational studies?